Core. Okay, Sharon, that's all yours now.
Hello, and welcome to the Beacon Group Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Sharon, and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speaker, you will not be able to unmute during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. But we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new, and you are looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps, as outlined in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual awakening, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, and then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure that your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked Sherry to read the 12 steps for us today. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Sharon, for taking the meeting. Here are the steps. I'm sorry, I'm an alcoholic. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry, for your service. Appreciate it. Today, we will hear a talk on steps Four and five, the fear and the sex portion of that step. Please give a warm welcome to Al J from Central Virginia. Thank you, Al.
Hello, everybody. Al Alcoholic. Sobriety date, May 5th, 1987. That's because Alcoholics Anonymous works under any and all conditions, if I will and if I can. And I'm here today to share my experience with steps four and five. And there's a lot of different personal interpretations around these steps, and they're all right if they work for you. You know, when we get into this, you know, we hear the four step has four columns. Maybe it has five columns. Maybe it has three columns. The last part's an eighth step. I've heard all of these things over the years. And if that works for you, that's right. I don't get into those type of controversial things. What I think is important is that you do it. And you don't have to be perfect at it. You need to be willing and give it your best effort. Don't worry about getting it right. Don't worry about getting it perfect. None of us did at our first attempt. Just do it. And you'll get the results because God doesn't make too hard of terms on us here. And so we start to get into this inventory process, and we see that the three pertinent ideas are the building blocks of the third step decision. And the third step decision is, to me, the ultimate conditions of surrender. And a few years into sobriety, I noticed that steps three and four were in how it works. And they went together because they're all about self. And what I'm trying to do here in my life as a selfish, self-centered alcoholic is I'm trying to get the order right in the daily surrender, which is big God, big you, little me. That's what I'm trying to attempt to do here within these steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, is to reduce me and increase my awareness of you and increase my awareness of a power greater than myself. So in the fourth step, we're going to look at the things that are blocking us, which are selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And we're going to write these things on paper in three different columns, or three different inventories, I mean. And then we're going to share it in step five. We're going to ask God in six and seven to remove these things from us, and then we're going to make amends. So step four is part of a process of steps four through nine. It's not an individual process to stand alone. It's part of the third step decision that we come out of. Though our decision is a vital and crucial step, it has little permanent effect unless at once writing a four step. And what we see now, and what we came out of the third step with, is that really changed my perception of my alcoholism, that alcohol was only a symptom. I thought alcohol was the whole problem, because everything that brought me to AA was alcohol related. Now it says when the alcohol is out of me, it's a symptom of a greater problem, and the problem is self. Manifested in various forms is what has defeated us. And so I'm going to look at fear and sex today, but I want to go over a little bit of resentment to bring it into the fear inventory, because I think it's critical, because there's some things that happen here in this fourth step that when I start to understand it, I start to understand the nature of what later on Bill called not just fear, but self-centered fear. And when in 1958, when he published Emotional Sobriety, The Next Frontier, he said in his own way that the third column was the troublemaker. And when we look at it in our sobriety, the things that cause most alcoholics the most trouble is romance, finance, self-importance, family, and other personal relationships. And when I started to see that that third column was the troublemaker, it's where self-centered fear was produced, that I was afraid I wasn't going to get enough of this, or I was going to lose it, I started to really have a change in looking at that four-step third column in resentment. And there's three things that resentment really caused to make me miserably ineffective in life is one is ingrained victimization, self-pity, and self-justification. And I've been guilty of all the above in sobriety on a few occasions, believe it or not. I'm very aware of those things today when they creep up. So when I get into the fear inventory, it makes a statement to me that is the major problem in all of my sobriety and always has and always will be. Isn't it because self-reliance failed? Yeah, isn't it? And it fails every time. What I found out was Alcoholics Anonymous was not a self-help program, though many of us, when we first come in from a clinical world, we have to change into a spiritual world. It seems like it's a self-help. It seems like it's a psychological process, and later it reveals itself as a spiritual process. And Alcoholics Anonymous is not a self-help program. It's a God help and help others program. And I can't diminish myself without God's help and your help. There's no way about it. I can't fix myself. I can't solve myself. I can't even work on myself. It just doesn't work. So I'm going to, in this step, I'm going to have a pencil and a paper. And a lot of us, when we first started, we used Joe and Charlie diagrams, all sorts of stuff on the internet. It's good starting points, nothing wrong with it. But again, I realized something as I got into this step, as I grew in effectiveness and understanding, said we made a personal inventory, not an intellectual one. And so I got the old legal yellow pad. I did my columns in the resentment, and I wrote those things out. When I got the fear, what changed for me is my next influence on the steps said you don't have to write a columns on fear. Just review them like it talks about on paper and write them down. And that's what I did. What was I afraid of? Okay. Now, a lot of times we get into what I call instinctual fears. They're the ones that are supposed to be there. Don't jump off the roof head first, you know. Don't go in the water without seeing what's underneath of the rocks, you know. Don't go in a... There's instinctual fears that are God-given, and we're not talking about those fears here. Those fears don't get us in trouble. In fact, those fears keep us out of trouble. We're talking about the fears that get us in trouble in the fourth step. And the fears that get me in trouble are the things that get most of us in trouble. It's motivated and driven by self-centered fear. I've been obsessed as long as I can remember with Bill. He kept telling us spiritual before material, but I've been very obsessed in sobriety from time to time and very fearful about material well-being. And it has dominated me sometimes. I've gotten very afraid from time to time about the family. Will the kid make it? Will he, you know, I have a kid that's a high function. He's on the spectrum. He's high functioning. Will he be able to function? I had a lot of fears around that. You know, will he be successful in life? Is he, oh my God, he did this the other day. He smoked some pot. My God, it's just you know, there's fears in marriage. There's fears, you know, and all of them, as we talk about in AA, are tied into the future, you know, and sometimes it's hard not to go there. We know the right thing, you know, in AA, we say the right things and we need to say the right things, but we don't always live up to them. We're human beings and we fall short of that. And sometimes fear has crippled me, you know, in business and all sorts of things. And so I think, when it talks about isn't become because self-reliance failed, it's another way, which I think is the default position the longer that I stay in Alcoholics Anonymous and grow in effectiveness and understanding. It's really letting go and letting God. And more I do that in my life, it seems to me that I'm not as afraid as I used to be of the things I used to be afraid of. And it seems to me most things in life work out anyhow. And sometimes when we look at the fear inventory, one thing it talks about that I really like is that faith means courage. Okay? A lot of times faith has lots of other meanings if you look in the dictionary or in religion, or but it means that we have courage. We have courage to face the things that we're afraid of. And sometimes when people write out this inventory, what would God have me be? They write out a long list. And for me, I'm you're going to get a simple version today of a lot of stuff. And one thing is, what God would have me be is be unafraid. We're in the fear inventory. That's what I would say. God wants me to be unafraid, because the catalyst of the defective character is self-centered fear. And if I'm not afraid, I'm not stressed out, I'm not resentful and full of fear, then my decisions are better. The way I treat people are better. The way I looked at life is better. The perception of you and God is better. It gets tainted by that fear. Later on, Bill, as he started to do a lot of writings in the grapevine, he took some different tacks sometimes on some of this fear that cripples us and has got us in trouble and has woke us up at 3 a.m. in the morning. He said it can be a stepping stone to better things, that we all from time to time are going to suffer from fear, but we can take that defect and God turns it into an asset, that we get to share that with other people. That's why in AA, I like to say, I don't get me without you, and my fifth step's incomplete without yours. Is I need that in my life. I need that constantly coming in, that connection with you and that connection with a higher power. And sometimes that connection has been very faulty because self has dominated me again. And I think all the first nine steps are about clearing up the wreckage of the past, and where we're coming to live and learning how to give in our life is steps 10, 11, and 12. I think all the arrows point towards those steps. And the first nine steps live in 10, 11, and 12 somewhere. Fear, I don't think that any of us totally outgrow fear. I think it's a process that we keep applying this God awareness to our life, that we're in consistency in meetings, that we have a sponsor, we allow a sponsor to help us, and we try to help out other people. But I will go back to, I think, the thing that has meant the most to me that I've taken out of this inventory isn't because self-reliance failed. So today when I'm in a fear-induced problem and I'm afraid again, I look at it, isn't it because self-reliance failed? Okay, I'm going to let go and let God. It's yours now. God, I've already messed it up. And so I wrote these things down, and my first four step was kind of pitiful, but it worked. I've been sober a long time. You can do a pitiful four step. It still works if your attitude's right. I certainly didn't have what I just shared with you, okay? I have that today. And God has certainly allowed me to match calamity with serenity. It certainly has happened here. Because God's all powerful. And when we look at the four-step inventory, it keeps coming back to those prayers that God's here. God's going to take care of this. If we allow God to take care of this, what we have to do is we have to write this stuff out. We're going to share it in a fifth step. And when I get to the sex inventory, there's a lot of directions in this step. I don't have enough time to go over all the directions in the four steps. There's some really awesome stuff. But one thing when we get to the sex inventory, it's very simple. And it's not talking about physical sex. It's talking more about the character defects and more of emotional emotions that come along with the sexual relationship. You know, who you sleep with and how you sleep with them. AA is not really involved in that. You know, if you're harming someone and it's selfish, then we're going to take a look at that here. So the first thing that we do in the sex inventory, and we try to be sensible on this subject. A lot of people aren't sensible on it. It's almost the first direction is we try to be sensible on this. And it talks about we find people running to extremes in this, and we're going to stay out of that controversy. We're not going to get involved in the extremes of how society looks at sex or how other societies look at sex. We're going to stay out of that controversy. We're going to be sensible on this subject. Okay. The other thing is we hardly have, you know, Everybody has sex problems. We'd hardly be human if we didn't. Okay. It's a very important statement. We all have sex problems. We'll fall short of the mark. Okay. So we're going to review our sex conduct. We're going to write it down. And where had we been selfish? So we're going to stop there and going to write maybe a paragraph of how selfish are we? We don't need a whole notebook. I just kind of write a paragraph of how selfish have I been? A lot selfish, because I'm selfish and self-centered. Was I dishonest? Yeah, I'm dishonest. Yeah, I've been dishonest in the sex situation, sure. I'm going to write some of that out, paragraph. And was I inconsiderate? Most definitely. Yeah, because I didn't think of other people. I only thought about me. Of course I was. I'm going to write a paragraph out on that. Okay. Where did we unjustly arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? That's a yes or no question. Now you can see where the sex problems are. They're in selfishness, dishonesty, inconsiderate, and unjustly arousing jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness. Not who you sleep with and how you sleep with them. But these are the problems. And these are the problems in all personal relationships. What could we have done better? Very simple. I could have been unselfish, I could have been honest, and I could have been considerate. If I'm unselfish, I'm honest, and considerate in personal relationships, they're going to go pretty good. If I'm not, they're going to go south. Whom had we hurt? Now I have an A-step list. I can add names on that, I can take them off, whatever, but I have an A-step list and the 4-step, whom had I hurt? Okay. What could we have done better? So the next thing that we do is we're going to shape a sex ideal for our future here. And we're going to ask God to mold this. We're bringing God again into this. And again, for me, a sexual ideal has always been very simple. It hasn't been 5 or 6 pages is what I think a sex situation. That would be, for me, too self-centered. I'm not saying other people don't do it. I've heard they've done it. I don't get into that. Sex ideal for me is very simple. How can I give more? Because I'm selfish and self-centered. And I need God to help me with that, because of myself, it just doesn't work out. I need your help and God's help in this. And, you know, it goes on to talk about that we're not going to loathe our sex situation, our sexuality, that this is God-given, okay? And we need to remember that, because a lot of people come into this and they feel bad about themselves. And this isn't about feeling bad about ourselves. This is about getting better. And we don't have to loathe our defects in this, and we don't have to loathe our sexuality, whatever it is, you know? That really, when you look at it, the sex instinct is really about procreation, you know, it's about reproducing the human race. It's God-given. It's supposed to be there. The urges, we're made physically to have sex with each other for a reason. We're wired that way. We don't have to loathe ourselves about that, because we're wired by that, by God. He created that to reproduce the human race. The mistakes that we made, and I like to say this as we get into the 5th step, there isn't any garbage here. You hear that all the time. All the crap in my head, or the garbage in my, I'm a dressed up garbage can. It sounds good. We're human beings. We're not garbage. We've done some things we shouldn't have done. We've made some mistakes. Hopefully we've learned from them. We've fallen short of the mark. God's going to take that defect, turn it into the asset. So when I meet you in the 5th step, we got something to share between us. It becomes gold, not garbage. Okay. The gaunt prospector in the family afterwards, he hit gold. He has to mine that the rest of his life and be willing to give the entire amount of gold away. There's no garbage here. There's no crap. The old crazy picture show, you got one too. what helped me get a sense of belonging and connection, and I listened to yours, it was a lot like mine. I felt like I wasn't different anymore. So we need to avoid hysterical thinking and advice, including our own. Maybe a sponsor, maybe other people in AA. I stay out of the hysterical thinking and advice. You know, people fall short of the mark in the sex arena. It says in meditation that we pray for the right answer, and it also says that it will come. And the right answer is always the same: is it selfish and will it hurt somebody? A lot of this I can take into my daily life. It's part of my personality now. It's part of my thought process. The fourth step gave me a lot of things that are still very much in my consciousness. It talks about if sex is very troublesome, we pray for sanity. It's the only other word that time I've seen sanity come up in the big book, except with alcohol. And some sex situations can most definitely be insane. I've watched it. You didn't do that again. Oh, yes, I did. Okay. Oh, my gosh. I could tell stories about that and guys I've sponsored, but we don't have enough time. And then I'm going to throw myself into working with others to get my mind off of me. This isn't a self-help program. This is a God help and help others program. This is me trying to get the order right in my life, a big God, big you, little me. So self isn't so dominating. And as I run this process of 4 through 9, I'm going to start to realize those 9-step promises in my life. Self-seeking will slip away. We lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. I mean, we got some pretty incredible promises sitting in those 9-step that come about as this process starts out of the 3rd step decision. So as I get into the 5th step, it says more than most people, the alcoholic lives a double life. Probably true. I asked my sponsor the first time I had done a 5th step. I had alluded to the idea that I had gotten free of that. And he had told me, you have gotten freer, but it's going to come back. And he was right. It came back in sobriety. And one of the things that the 5th step teaches us that's so important, and again, we're pointing our arrows towards 10, 11, and 12 because it's certainly going to come up. It's like I learned to tell on myself. You know? I've got to learn to share the things I don't want to share. In AA, we hear in a lot of our meetings that we get sick from our secrets, and there's probably some truth in that, for sure. Discolors our personality, for sure. It has mine. And that self-justification can step in there sometimes. But I got to learn to tell on myself. And when I bring this 4th step to my sponsor, and the book gives us some other ideas if that doesn't work. But I think in this day and age, it's probably easier to find a sponsor. But not everybody does it, because when they first wrote the book, there was a small community of AA. There's a pretty big one nowadays. I find it valuable to do with another alcoholic that's been through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 and 12, because they can give me a lot of insights that a non-alcoholic possibly cannot do. But if you need to do a 5th step and you don't feel like at that time that's something you want to do and you want to do it with your priest, I would suggest your wife or your husband. I think that would backfire, but Other people have done it with others. I've only done it with AA members, and it's worked for me. So one thing, when I bring this to my sponsor, I don't have to read everything in. I need to start with the things that keep me up at night, that wake me up at 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning, that bother me. I need to start there. I don't need to go over every bit of the column, all of that. Sometimes people say, hey, I listen to a fifth step for 6 or 8 hours. And you know what? You may be wired for that. I'm not. I'm just not. I have a friend that if you had 3 days of a four step, he would listen to it. I came from a different point of view on this. And the point of view is get to the point. Okay. We're going to waste a lot less time if you get to the point here, and that you understand that self-reliance failed, that coming out of this, you understand that selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, and the symptoms they cause in your life are going to be the problem. If you have the understanding that the third column in the fourth step is the problem maker, that romance, finance, self-importance, family, and other personal relationships have caused you a lot of heartache from time to time, we're getting on the right track. Tell me first the things that keep you up at night. Tell me first the things you don't want to tell me. The rest will go easier. Very important. Are you aware of your character defects? Do you understand that now? Do you understand that by yourself, you're going to come up short? That's why after this fifth step, we're going to take two significant prayers. Don't let anybody say, oh, Bill didn't write enough. He should have put more. They're two significant prayers. 6 and 7 are two significant prayers to start to see where the solution is. Entirely ready to have God remove these defects and humbly ask him to remove these shortcomings. Not me, but God. So I'll wind down with this. The fifth step, as we complete this, I think there's some important things in that promises on page 75. Okay. One, we had spiritual belief, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. This is very, very important, because that's the solution here. As we start to look at a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, which is a personality change sufficient to recover in the spiritual experience appendix in the back, is a beauty on that to read that. So though we may have had spiritual beliefs, now we begin to have a spiritual experience. It's so important. It says our fears fall from us because we share them now. We've understand self-reliance failed. We start become God dependent for the first time in our life. And then it's going to start to set us up for steps 6 and 7. Is it going to ask us some questions? Did we make the cement right? Now, if any of you mix cement, you're going to have sand in it. Okay. You put things in that cement to make it work. If you left something out, cement doesn't work. The foundation's not going to be strong. We ask ourselves, you know, are we solid in these first 5 steps? Are we solid in them now? Is there anything maybe we have a reservation about that we need to share? Because reservations can end up for an alcoholic getting drunk. And what we're trying to do here is treat this mental obsession or that insanity of the first drink. And that's the problem. And we want to have that removed. And the 10-step promises will show that that gets removed, provided that we don't get off track. We can't live today on yesterday's program. So I'm preparing myself for 6 and 7. It talks about 1 hour. Well, some alcoholics can't do an hour. So here's what I do with them. Meet me at the meeting an hour and a half early. We're going to do your fifth step. We're going to go to the meeting. You got 1 hour in that meeting to reflect. It's a form of prayer and meditation. And after that meeting, you come over to me. Is there anything you left out? Did you have a reservation? Is this complete? The meeting does some things that going home, taking the book off the shelf doesn't necessarily always do for every alcoholic. I like the meeting because it's 1 hour. And I know for 1 hour, they've reflected in that meeting. So with that, I'm glad that you asked me today. You asked me to tackle an awful lot in 30 minutes. Probably left half out what you guys know. And hopefully I added some simplicity to this. So thanks for inviting me. And I'm going to go ahead and pass this back to the group.